Anul lor e vor fo, e vor puin servo. Amen. Today is the sixth Sunday of Great Lent, the final Sunday of Great Lent. And this day is called in Armenian, Galistyan Giragi, the Sunday of Advent. And when we hear this word Advent, we sometimes think of Christmas. And this is what Advent means. Advent means the coming of someone, the preparation of someone to come. And so today we prepare for Christ's arrival. Not just next week, because next week is Palm Sunday, and his arrival into Holy Week and into Jerusalem, but also we remember and we prepare for Christ's second coming. Then the question naturally arises, how do we prepare for Christ's second coming? The second coming when he comes and he judges both the living and the dead. How do we prepare for this, and what do we have to do? Some people will say, well, you need to stockpile. You need to stockpile food, water, guns, you know, get all these things ready when the second coming happens. But in reality, when he comes, you will not need water or food or guns. That's all going to be in the past. When he comes, there will be no more need for any of these things. But if we think about it, when we prepare for a guest who is arriving at our house, we do the following. We clean the house. We take all the laundry that hasn't been done and put it in another room so no one sees it. I know you do that because I do it. We prepare food, right, and a meal. And we set the ambiance, right? If there's a bad smell in the house from the cooking, we put on essential oils or we light a candle to change the smell. Or we put the lighting, we set the lighting correctly, we put music on in the background. We set everything up for this guest to come. And if the guest, we usually know when the guest is going to arrive, unless they're Armenian, and then they're usually late. But in general, we know about the time they're supposed to arrive. And so we're all ready. However, Christ never said when he was going to return. Christ never said, I'm coming at this moment, so be ready. In fact, he says the opposite. He says, you do not know when I will return, but be ready. Always stand guard, because you do not know when the Son of Man shall return. This is the same with the Jews in Christ's time. The Jews were waiting for the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, to come. And they thought, if they kept all of the commandments of the Old Testament, there are not 10 commandments in the Old Testament. There are 10, but there's actually 613 commandments in the Old Testament. And so the Jews thought if they could keep all 613 of these commandments, then the Messiah will come and everything will be perfect. But they could not keep those commandments. They could not keep 613 of them. And they were not ready for the arrival of the Messiah. Knowing the law and actually doing the law are two different things. And anyone who has not slowed down at a stop sign knows this. We know the law, but we don't necessarily practice it every time. And this is what happens with the Jews. The Jews knew the law. They knew the 613 commandments of the law, but they didn't necessarily practice all of them. And so in the gospel reading today, an expert of this law, of the Mosaic law, comes to Christ, testing him, wants to put him on the spot, because he knows all 613, and he wants to see what's Christ going to say. And so he says, which one is the most important? Of the 613, which one is the most important law or commandment that we must keep? And then he's going to say, so we can throw out the rest, right? So Christ says, the most important commandment is to love your Lord, the God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then immediately after that, he adds another commandment. He doesn't stop. He adds another commandment. He says, and the second is like the first. To love your neighbor as yourself. And then he sums it up by saying, these two commandments the entire law hangs from. Sums up the entire law by saying, you must love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in antiquity, the church fathers taught that a man, a person, is made of three things: body, soul, and mind. If you do not have one of these things, you are not a human being. You are not a man. All right? You are not human. And we say this even today in America, we do this. If there is no body, but there's a soul and a mind, well, it's not really a human. It's not a person. It's something else. If there's a body and there's a soul, but there's no mind, well, that's not a person either. The mind is, that's just an animal. And if we say that there's a person that has a body and a mind, but no soul, right? We might say they're heartless, they're soulless. That's not a human, that's something else. That's a monster. It's not a human. So these three things have to work together. They must work together in order for a human to exist. And so Christ is saying, we are to love God with our entire body, our entire mind, and our entire soul. That means we do not love God and we do not serve God 10% of the time, right? A tithe, 10% of the time, that's all we need to do. It does not mean we have to do it 50% of the time. It does not mean we have to do it 1/7 of the time, only on Sundays. It does not mean we have to do it 99% of the time. It means we have to do it 100%, all the time, with our entire existence. Because if we do not, then we are not following that commandment. As we said earlier, it is easier said than done, right? We can all say, oh, I can love God very easily. It's an easy task to do. And to love my neighbor, my brother, or my sister, that's also an easy thing to do. But again, doing it is different than knowing it. And it's not always easy. St. John, in his first letter, writes, that man who says, I love God, but hates his brother, is a liar. Because we cannot love God with our entire body, with our entire mind, with our entire soul, if we don't love those around us. He goes on to say in that letter, whoever is not able to love his brother whom he sees, how then can he love God whom he does not see? How can we not love, how can we hate the person in front of us, but love the person, the one that we don't see at all? It's impossible to do. This is why Christ immediately adds the second commandment right after that first one. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. In Armenian, it says, love your friend. It's not the right translation. The original translation is mer tzavod. Neighbor isn't even a good translation in English. It literally means the one who is next to you, merz, the one who is close by you. Love that one. Not your friends, not necessarily your neighbors either, whom you know, but the person who is standing next to you. Love them as yourself. And we show our love for God by loving each other. Loving each other does not mean, it could mean, but it does not necessarily mean doing good things to them all the time. Giving them food and clothing. Those are all important things, yes. But one of the most important ways to show love to God is by forgiving the person next to you. Somebody whom you do not know cuts you off while you're driving. What do you do? We usually make a hand gesture. And as I said before, rather than giving one hand gesture, we should do a different hand gesture and make the sign of the cross for them and pray for them and forgive them, not try and race up and cut them off. Because I know we've done this before, myself included. Rather, we should learn to forgive. We should learn to forgive others. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That means that our forgiveness from God depends directly upon how much we forgive others. If we hold a grudge, God will hold a grudge. If we forgive, God will forgive. I'm not saying it's easy. As we said, it's easier said than done, but it's required, and we need to do this. This is how we prepare for Christ's second coming. Throughout all of Lent, and as I said, this is the last Sunday of Lent, throughout all of Lent, we have been preparing for this next week, Christ's entry into Jerusalem, right? In the beginning of Holy Week. We've been doing different things, repentance, preparation, stewardship, all of these things. But today, we are asked to forgive again. If we have not done that, it is a horrible, terrible thing to enter Holy Week with a grudge against someone. Because then you cannot truly worship and celebrate Holy Week with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul. So my prayer is, as we prepare for Christ's second coming and for his entry into Jerusalem next week, right, we try to strive for those things that we have not done. In particular, praying for others and forgiving others. Let us love one another through forgiveness, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and so that we can truly love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. Because in doing that, we can be called Christians. If we do not do that, you have no right to call yourself a Christian. You're something else, but not a Christian. If you do not learn to love and to forgive others, no matter how horrible they have treated you, forgiveness is required. Because Christ forgave us for all the things we've done to him and continue to do to him today. And when we forgive, when we receive forgiveness from him, we can then truly go out and forgive others. But first, we need to forgive those who have hurt us so that we can receive that forgiveness. Amen.